us, Lord. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for your grace. And we thank you so much, Jesus, that you are with us. Just encourage you to bring this week that you've had before the Lord. Just imagine yourself reviewing each of those conversations you've had, places you've been, things you've done. And now as you do, just be attentive to how you have felt in those times. Lord, we thank you so much that you're with us always. And we especially bring before you those times where maybe we felt slightly distant from you. Those times where we felt frustrated. We hand them over to you now. We lay them at the foot of the cross. And we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness and your mercy, which is new every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So our reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, and it's verses 10 through to 15, which I think we'll find is what's shown. John's smiling at me, probably not, but if it stops, then don't worry. So here we go. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd." Let's close our eyes, shall we, for this moment, as we hear these words from Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, I wonder how you felt when you heard those words. Comforted? Did you feel maybe an inner strength from the Lord in what you might face next week? There are some pretty tough jobs. Being a shepherd is one, but I wonder if you could tell which are the most difficult, dangerous, hard jobs that there are anywhere in the world. Some of them have been listed. Actually, I think there are a few more that I can think of, but these are how they're categorized, which I guess are probably going to be a little bit West-centric, aren't they? But have a think about them. Actually, just share with each other. What do you think the top three might be? Three of the hardest jobs. Okay, so let's go with the top 10, shall we? So at number 10 is apparently, that one isn't listed being a parent, but number 10, prison warden, apparently is the 10th hardest job in the UK and in other places. I think this is definitely focused on Western countries because we were just speaking about lithium mining and about things like sulfur mining from volcanoes and things like that, where people are dying all the time and have a reduced life expectancy of around about 8 to 10 years. So what about number 9, which is search and rescue worker? People that go out, including the people on the lifeboats, things like that. Anyone have that as a job? Yep. Then number 8 is oil rig worker, which I heard some people mentioning. And part of that is because they work 6 straight weeks without a break. So in very precarious places. How about a firefighter, number 7? Have we got this on the slides? I'm probably just, yeah, thank you. And number 6, it sounds like my computer wasn't updating with Nextcloud towards the end of the week, which is why that wasn't there at first. Number 6 is cell tower or somebody that works on mobile phone masts, which they get skinnier as they go up, don't they? So that must be a hard one as well. Number 5 is a roofer, irrespective of how high or low a roof is. Apparently a very dangerous job, and I wouldn't like to climb up 10 stories to put a roof on something. And then you've got an iron and steel worker at number 4. Just imagine being at the top of a skyscraper as beams are put into place, but also the temperature of molten iron and all of the tools that are used. Alaskan crab fisherman is at number 3. Did you even know there was such a person? Does anyone here eat crab at all? There you go. Now you know the danger someone's gone to collect it. So it's rated as one of the most dangerous jobs because in Alaska it's pretty harsh. They go out in all weather conditions to collect these crabs from the sea. And I think you have to go down to get them. I don't think it's easy just to pull them up. And then number 2 is a healthcare worker. Somebody that works for the NHS. Not only the risks, but also the amount of time and the pressures. And then number 1 is the military. So a role in the military. Now, what's interesting is that we have a number of people that serve and are part of the church that do those jobs weekly, daily. And so it'd be good to pray for them now, wouldn't it? And for those also in the wider community. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for those that do jobs which are really dangerous to serve people. We especially lift to you those in healthcare and in the military. We pray for those who are in our church family who do that, and we pray for your blessing over them, wisdom and discernment for them. And we pray that also, Lord, for people here in Dedworth, in Windsor, and around the world who work in those roles, Lord. We pray they would be close to you, that they'd know your presence with them, and that they would know your protection and guidance. And so as we explore your word together this morning, help us to hear you, Lord. We thank you for your word and the life that it brings to our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. So, being a shepherd was a really difficult job, and is a really difficult job. Not only were they treated as outsiders in the first century by their community, shepherds were also considered ceremoniously unclean and untrustworthy. This wasn't a job for a family man. If that didn't make life hard, then the actual job did. If you ever watch Aardman's Shaun the Sheep, then you'll get an idea about how awkward sheep can be. The often nomadic shepherd would need to care for their flock. They'd protect them from wolves and other wild animals. They'd lead them to water and good pastures, and they would guard the flock at night. The shepherds might have watched their flocks both in the open or on a field or in a sheepfold where the flock would be penned in by a canyon, a cliff face, or other natural break in the land, which themselves were really precarious. The pen was safer as the sheep could be counted in and the shepherd could then put a bush of thorns at the entrance or guard the entrance with their bodies as they watched out for wild animals and wolves who'd quite happily make a meal of their fluffy friends. It was the difference between the shepherd and the others that Jesus highlighted in his story. There's the shepherd, the sheep, the gatekeeper, the gate. Jesus casts himself as the shepherd and the gate. The gatekeeper is the one who opens the door to the shepherd. The thief, bandits, and the strangers are those who are a danger to the sheep that don't belong to the shepherd. The shepherd has a relationship with his sheep and has permitted access to his flock. The thief gets into the pen in some deceitful way. The sheep run away from the stranger, though they will follow the shepherd because they trust him and have a relationship with him. I just hope that builds a bit of an overview story for you. When I was a kid, my gran and granddad had a house that had a field of sheep literally next door. The farmer had given permission for us to walk through his field and go to the wood at the bottom of the hill where there were amazing numbers of bluebells. We'd lift out the slats from the fence and step over into the field. And as we did, we were followed by the beady eyes of the sheep that didn't look particularly impressed at us being there. They'd littered the ground, as you can imagine, with all sorts of mess that we had to be careful about. And so, in many respects, because they also were quite dirty, I was grateful that we weren't able to get more than 3 or 4 meters or 10 to 12 feet close to them. The sheep just simply didn't trust us, quite right too, because we were in their space and we were there for our own gain. The shepherd would only go into that field in order to look after his sheep. The stranger in Jesus' story were in it for their own gain. The shepherd principally cared about the needs of his sheep. Rather than driving them forwards, the shepherd would go ahead of them to protect them and ensure their safety. Their welfare was put first. Who here has a pet? Okay, so how does your pet respond when they hear your voice? Mine. Well, I'm going to show you. We've got goldfish, and they do know. No, it's goldfish. They're not goldfish. They're fish. Anyway, they're warm-water fish. But when you go and feed them, they still know me, and they're a bit careful when visitors come in. So there's something about them that also recognise things. So anyone got dogs? Dogs, and what's your dog like, Carol?
Well, she's just a bit mad, but she's very old now, so if we walk through the door and she's away, she'll come and greet us every time.
Yeah.
But now she's a bit old, she can't hear us, but in her youth.
But she knows you, she loves you, she trusts you,
and
that relationship goes both ways, doesn't it? Rather than run away from the shepherd, the sheep likewise knew their shepherd and know them. They'd know his voice, they'd follow him. He'd speak to them, perhaps even sing to them. Just going back to my fish for one moment, Harriet actually thinks that the fish can hear her singing to them. And she sometimes sings to them and they come forwards. But she's got that relationship with them. And it's interesting, isn't it, how we put characters on the animals that we look after. Of course, they're suspicious of anyone other than the shepherd. There were many dangers, crevices, the desert, the wild animals. Thieves would take the opportunity to steal away the sheep if they could. But who were the thieves that Jesus spoke about? And what point was he making anyway? See, this is when it's really important to go back to the context. If you did the Bible course, then you'd have heard that the text without the context is a con. And it's really important for us to understand that so we can get the most from what Jesus said. So Jesus was speaking at a time when Jewish worshippers were celebrating Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication. The word Hanukkah means dedication. Followers were remembering how some conservative Jews had fought against Greeks and Jews who'd begun to adopt foreign ways. Their leader, Judas Maccabeus, who I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, was around about 160 years before Jesus was born. They cleansed the temple from pagan worship and rededicated it to the faith. This was false versus true shepherd. The festival served to remind people to look out for the true shepherd of God's people. The scriptures read from the Bible in the temple would have spoken about the failed leadership and false shepherds during the weeks around the festival, reminding people not to repeat the mistakes that they'd made of the past. They were drawing attention to look towards the true shepherd. Now, the Old Testament scriptures would have been read, that we read. And one of the scriptures from Ezekiel chapter 34 would have been read out. And it reads this: "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them." This is really, really critical, isn't it, on leaders and shepherding, of the way that people were in those days. Think back to the time when they turned away from God. Jesus said to them, in that context, "I am the gate for the sheep." Can you imagine it? I mean, as he said that, I would have been looking around for who was there, because I wouldn't have wanted to be associated with a comment that could have got me in trouble as well. Maybe I would have been happy to have stood there and said, "Go Jesus, go Jesus." I'd hope I would have been the latter My fear is I might have been the former for fear of my life. But it didn't stop there. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus was playing with fire. His words were dangerous. The people were divided, and some thought he was raving mad or demon-possessed. That's the context with which he shared those words. Jesus said that God's people needed to look towards a true leader or shepherd. They needed to look towards him. He said he was the gate. He was the way into the sheepfold. If the shepherd enters by the gate, and the Old Testament sees God as the shepherd of Israel, Jesus was going beyond just saying he was a teacher, friends. He was saying he is God. God and the only way to God. Many will say that they have our best at heart. But hardly anyone will go before us to put themselves in the place of danger to protect us. Jesus, however, has gone before us in that he was willing to die on the cross so that he could enter the ultimate sheep, so that we rather could enter the ultimate sheepfold, which is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the only completely selfless shepherd who went to such extremes to look after us so that we would be safe not only in this life, but in our eternal lives with God, protecting us for eternity too. Jesus' sheep would need to tell the difference between the shepherds who entered by the gate and the thieves who jumped the wall, those whose intentions were bad. This went beyond just watching out for those who would lead the sheep astray. This was about how and who the people should follow. The out-of-touch religious leaders stealing away the sheep, or him, the true shepherd of Israel. The religious leaders were responding badly to Jesus, the gate, and the true shepherd. In their fear, Jesus was changing the status quo. And they showed themselves as being strangers to God's flock, to God's plan. And so, to today, what does this mean for you and me now? Well, we've heard about two shepherds here, haven't we? We've heard about Jesus and those who guide people in faith. We who follow Jesus are called to make disciples. So we should be guiding others and pointing the way to Jesus, the gate. We ourselves are the flock, and so we need to look to follow the shepherds who are in good relationship with Jesus. But we need to watch out for the strangers, thieves, and bandits. It's possible today to find a religious leader who will say whatever you like in order to get you to be part of their fold. And I'm not only talking about other religions now. I'm talking about discernment in when we hear preaching, when we hear people say, it's fine for this, it's fine for that, it's not right for this, it's not right for that. We need to hold those people and the words that they've said accountable to God's word. When we measure them up to God's word, we find sometimes that those words fall short. So by staying close to God in prayer and by reading God's word, by weighing what we hear to make sure that it's in line with what God says, then we will stay close to Jesus. It's so hard to emphasize how important, friends, this is. God calls us to live life in a way that is different from culture. And that is both challenging but also light-giving, not only to our lives but to the lives of others. Secondly, if we stay close to Jesus and grow in faith, we too are called by God to do our part in helping others come to know Jesus as well, helping them to hear him for themselves, learning to know the shepherd's call. If we're close to Jesus, people will hear his voice speaking to them through us as we grow in his likeness. They will hear his voice calling them, and they will grow in his likeness too if we stick close to Jesus. I listen to my children when they speak to me most of the time. I try my best. I don't know if this is something you may have noticed if you're a parent, or if you're a parent of somebody in respect of this mothering thing we were talking about, being alongside people. But do you find that the more you spend with somebody that is younger than you, the more they adopt your ways? I'm concerned for my children. The thing is that I hear my children coming out with words like I do. Alice is 5, and sometimes she sounds like she's 45. But that's because she's with me and because we're sharing together and because she's growing. And that's also true of spending time with Jesus. When we spend time with Jesus, we will speak and hear, be heard by others to be sharing him discreetly in that way too. And they too will then receive that light and share it, even if they're not aware, which will help them to be closer to Jesus and to be ready to surrender their lives to him. And so as we do this, as we try to be closer to Jesus, our shepherd, let's pray, let's read God's word, let's keenly engage in discipleship, getting actively involved in making him known, in sharing him with others, in going to the lost, in putting ourselves in a place like shepherds do, which are crevices, places where there isn't much light, remembering that we do that with God's light in our lives. And let's make Jesus known through that gently. Let's in love call out the thieves and bandits, remembering, as Paul said, that we are in a struggle that is not with the flesh, but with spiritual powers. And let's lead people to our ultimate shepherd, Jesus, who shines light into the darkness. But if we just went out after the week that we've had and did that without preparing our hearts, we have the risk of being dangerous shepherds too. And so as we go into this week, today, the beginning of the week, let's just again reflect on where we are with our Lord. How are you doing right now? How do you feel today? There's a psalm in the Old Testament which I think is probably one of the most known bits of scripture in the Bible. And today many will hear it for the first time. But many will hear it for the 100th or more time. It's Psalm 23. And I'm going to read it slowly to us. And if it's the first time you hear it, then hear it in the context of what I said. If you've heard this many, many, many times before, then try to hear these words in the way that you're hearing what God has to say to you today. You may have heard them in a funeral before, and so therefore they may stir up in your heart feelings of that. But let's try to keep it in the present. And I'm going to read it slowly, because this is a song of love from one shepherd to another. King David was the shepherd of God's sheep, and he was a shepherd in the field. who wrote this song about God, his shepherd. So let's just pause, shall we, for one moment. And then I'm going to read those words. And then we'll just hear what the Lord says to us through it this morning. I encourage you to close your eyes, maybe. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. What is it that the Lord is saying to you today? Just as we're praying, continue to receive, and I'll just share with you that as I was just looking to see how God was at work, I saw a number of people, not just one or two, but a number of people nodding. You may not have even been aware of it, but a number of people around the congregation this morning were nodding. And I think that was a yes, Lord, nod. An openness to be a sheep that follows your Lord. To you, Lord, our shepherd, we say yes. We trust you, Jesus. We want to follow you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the protection that you give us in life, but for so much more. Help us, Lord, to follow you, to hear your voice, to grow in faith, and to step forwards, knowing that you have gone before us, and that everywhere that we go, you are looking after us.